Welcome back to The Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Shultimer, and our guest today, Mark Richardson. Your earlier book, Zen and Now, is also about a road trip, but a different kind, perhaps. Tell us about the inspiration for Zen and Now and how your experience in making the two trips differed.
Well, my Zen and Now book is based upon Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, which was a book that was written, well, it was published in 1974 by an author called Robert Persig, and it sold 5 million copies at least. It's very popular. It was definitely a book of its time when it came out. It took him 6 years to write the thing. It was based on a road trip that he had made in 1968 with his son, who was 11 years old, his son Chris. And the two of them set off on his old motorcycle, his old Honda, and they rode from his home in Minneapolis all the way through to San Francisco. It took 2 weeks over it. It's can be a difficult book to read. A lot of people don't finish reading it. I would say of the 5 million copies sold, probably 10% of those people have actually read it all the way through. A lot of people think it's a road trip story, and it's based on a road trip, but it's not about a road trip.
No, it's not. Do you think is what people really get out of that book? I loved it.
Yes, and people have written PhD theses on this book.
Yeah,
it's
quite philosophical in some ways.
It's extremely philosophical, and it's a certain brand of philosophy. And I didn't realize this, but philosophy is kind of cliquey. I mean, you're either an Aristotelian or you're a
Platonist.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily agree. And a lot of people wouldn't agree with him in his original one. No, I mean, his basic thesis is that if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing well. Mm-hmm. Take your time over doing something properly. And so he tells the story through anecdotes and many other things and his own life story during this road trip. And I was fascinated by this book. It took me 3 goes to get through it, I must admit.
Yeah.
But when I did, I realized just how wonderful the book was, and I realized its appeal. And so I decided, again, just like my previous one, well, hey, it's a good excuse for a road trip. But I also wanted to see just how much America had changed in all these years, you know, since the book was written. And so I took off on my old motorcycle, my own old Suzuki dirt bike, and went off and retraced the exact same route. I went from Minneapolis to San Francisco. I stopped in the same places. A lot of it I had to figure out where it was. I mean, it's not that well mapped out in the book. He didn't intend for people to be following it.
But, Mark, the book, too, is also a lot about Robert Persig and what
about
him. Your book, yes.
Yeah, I didn't know any of this stuff at the beginning when I first read his book, and very little of it was out there.
Yeah.
But I realized that he was a really interesting guy. I mean, he was locked up in a lunatic asylum. He tried to kill his wife, all sorts of things, right? When I started digging into it, I realized just what a kooky guy this was, and that, you know, he had a story that deserved to be told. And I corresponded with him. He's very reclusive. He told me once that he wanted to be the second most reclusive author in New England, I guess after Salinger, right?
But, I suppose.
But we did correspond, and he answered many questions for me. Not all of them, but he answered many. And I also corresponded with relatives and friends and the like. I mean, I've visited with some of the people who made this trip. You know, back in 68, and I stayed in the same places, in the houses of people who'd hosted him.
No, it's a very interesting element in your book.
Yeah, well, my book is, it's sort of three parts. I mean, his book, his original, is supposed to be 7 different layers. My book is 3. My book is a road trip for people who like motorcycles and want to just have a nice road trip. That was what it was originally intended to be. But it also became a biography of Robert Persig, this incredibly, he's a genius. Love him or hate him, you have to respect him. But he had a fascinating life and had a fascinating story to tell. And it also became my own story of, life in my mid-40s, looking, wondering if the grass is always greener. I was a guy with a mortgage, family. Maybe I should just be taken off and, you know, being on the other side of the fence. And so I was questioning all this stuff. So I took off on my motorbike, just to freedom of the open road.
Well, are you going to read to us from now?
I'd love to read from my book. In fact, I'm just going to read the opening chapter. It sort of sets everything up a little bit.
Okay.
Well, not the whole chapter. That'll take a while, I'm afraid. Though you can read the whole chapter on my website, zenandnow.org.
Okay.
You can download the PDF for chapter 1. Right. But let me start it for you if I can. This is actually a little nod to the original book. The original book begins with, "I can tell by the watch on my wrist that it's 9:30 in the morning and the day is hot." Sorry, I can quote that because I've read the book 20 times. So my book, that was not me. That was not me, that was him. This is now me, okay? You ready? So, "I can tell from the sign by the bank, without turning my head from the road, that it's 9:30 in the morning. The sign flashes to show it's 80 degrees and the heat's already coming through my jacket. It's going to be hot today. That's okay. On a motorcycle, heat is always welcome. The small town passes and I'm back among the fields. The bike's running well this morning and both of us are stretching out a little, starting to relax on the road now that this trip's finally underway. You'll have to excuse me if I think of her sometimes as if she's a person. It's just me now, me and my old bike. I'm on Highway 55, the original road that runs up from Minneapolis towards Minnesota's northwest. This is an old road, made from concrete with flattened stones in the mix for hardness and ridges every few dozen feet that set up a clickety-clack sound like a locomotive on its tracks. There aren't many cars on this stretch of highway because anybody who's really trying to get somewhere is on the interstate that runs alongside a couple of miles away. Sit on the interstate and you don't need to stop till you run out of gas. In fact, on the interstate, if you didn't have to pull over every few hours and pay at the pump, there'd be no reason to ever slow down or even speak to anyone. Truckers do it all the time. Stay awake for long enough and you'll be at the coast by Wednesday. But not on this road, though. Trucks stay off this road. Clickety-clack. There's been a track here for centuries, paved sometime in the 1920s or 30s, to better link farmers with their markets, Bible salesmen with their customers, children with their schools. This is the kind of road on which life happens, connecting other roads and streets and driveways and communities, not a throughway that picks you up here and throws you off there. It meanders around properties and makes way for the marshes that breed the ducks and the red-winged blackbirds that take flight as I ride past. Clickety-clack. The only way to truly experience a road like this is to be out in the open, not shut up in a car, but riding along on top of it on a motorcycle. It's tough to explain to someone who's only ever traveled behind a windshield, sealed in with the comforting thunk of a closing door. On a bike, there's no comforting thunk. The road is right there below you, blurring past your feet, ready to scuff your soul should you pull your boot from the peg and let it touch the ground. The wind is all around you and through you while the sun warms your clothing and your face. Take your left hand from the handlebar and place it in the breeze, and it rises and falls with the slipstream as if it were a bird's wing. Breathe in and smell the new-mown grass. Laugh out loud and your voice gets carried away on the wind. At least, that's how it is on a warm, sunny day like this Monday morning. Some rain a couple of days ago was a struggle, but I won't think about that now. There'll be plenty of time for that later. Clickety-clack. Somewhere beside the road near here should be a rest area with an iron water pump. Nearly 4 decades ago, a couple of motorcycles stopped here and their riders took a cool drink from the pump. It should be coming up on the left, and here it is, just like in the book. This road really hasn't changed much at all. There's a place to park the bike near some picnic tables under a shelter, and the grass drops down to a stream behind the trees. To one side is the iron hand pump that's mentioned in the book. It still draws cool water. The spout is opposite the pump, so I have to dash around with my hands cupped to catch the gushing water. I capture just a trickle. I have no proper cup. The Zen riders would have brought a cup. Besides, there were 4 of them. Enough for one to pump and another to drink. I'm on my own today. So, it goes on from there.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very romantic.
It is a bit, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, road trips are romantic.
Yeah. Obviously to you,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. No, I think that's a great way to draw people in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trying
so
to ignore
much.
The fact that, that my rear end is hurting from sitting on the motorcycle so long. We'll ignore that part of it. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. It was
Thanks,
great.
Thanks, Felicity.
And where can people buy those two books of yours?
Well, the easiest way is to buy them online. I mean, you can buy them in bookstores still.
You can.
Certainly, you can buy the new book, Canada's Road, which has just been published, in fact.
Yeah.
It's available at bookstores all over the place, and there's Amazon and Chapters and those good, fine bookstores. And, of course, here as well, I believe, at the Avid Reader.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I hope people will go out and buy your book, but I'm sure they will.
Thank you.
So, thank you to our listeners for listening in. And if you'd like to to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to wordonthehills@gmail.com. And we hope you'll join us for another program next week.